A sex and relationship therapist from Chepstow has written a book giving a therapist eye view on couples therapy. And with over 25 years experience, Juliet Grayson gives us a glimpse of what really goes on during her session. She joins me now. Juliet, welcome to BBC Radio Wales.
Thank you very much.
I'm just trying to imagine the, you know, the dinner party or the or the conversation in the pub when people say, what do you do? Oh, I'm an accountant, or I drive taxis, and then you say I'm a sex therapist. It must make people sort of choke on their lemonades.
I remember very early on when I was training, and one of my friends at an event I'd organised for charity, which was a kind of piano concert, and there were about 30 people there. And she announced very loudly, my friend's just qualified as a sex therapist. And half the room disappeared and half the room came over towards me. And I reckon the ones that disappeared were worried that I would know their intimate details and their problems.
Just by looking at them.
Exactly, which of course I don't.
Why did you decide to become a sex therapist? Have you always been a sex therapist?
No, I started teaching horse riding.
Okay, and no connection.
Well, you might think there's no connection, but for me, anyway, so I started teaching horse riding down in London in Richmond Park, and people used to talk to me. So I just had two horses at the time, and I would have the same clients at the same time each week. And a bit like going to the hairdressers, people would talk to me.
Yeah.
And they started to tell me the most extraordinary stories. So one woman had gone to the hearing of the will of her father, and there were two Mrs. Joneses with two lots of children, and he'd been an English solicitor who had committed bigamy. Yeah. So it wasn't that he didn't know what the law was. So that was a whole other family. Another client had her husband had got run over on the way to work, and when she went to pick up his clothes, there was a pair of stockings and suspenders.
Goodness
in his
me.
Clothes. So I was hearing these, some bizarre, some ordinary stories, and people would say to me, you're a really good listener.
So you must give off this aura, Juliet, that this energy that people feel safe to confide in you.
I guess that's true. I think I've always been someone that people can talk to. Mm. And I enjoy listening, and I enjoy people. So I think they pick that up.
So what types of people come through your door? Because sex is a funny old subject, isn't it? You know, it's either not talked about or, I wouldn't say bragged about, but people are comfortable talking about what happens in the bedroom. So what types of people come through your door? Are they the people who are quite open about it, or has it taken a lot for them to come to see you?
I get the whole range. So some people are absolutely terrified of coming, and it's taken them years to pluck up the courage to come. And I would say to those people who are struggling with a sexual problem, don't leave it for years, because the longer you leave it, the more set it becomes and the harder it becomes to shift it. So it's better to come sooner rather than later. And so I can remember one guy who came, who he was excruciatingly embarrassed, a man in his late 70s, excruciatingly embarrassed to talk about sex. But, you know, he managed to, and we helped him, and he sorted out his issues.
Yeah, it's as I say, it's a weird old subject. And one, I think there's a lot of pressure through the media and so on for us all to think that sex is extremely important. Do you know what I mean? If you don't think you're good enough, then it can become an issue, because the films, television, articles, internet all give off this impression that people should be brilliant at it all the time.
We're all supposed to be having wall socket sex all the time, you know, three times a week at least.
Yeah.
You know. And of course, that's not the truth. You know, I mean, one couple I met hadn't had sex for 25 years and came to me because they wanted to change that. And we did change it. And they are now back having a regular sex life.
And what was their relationship then without the sexual aspect to it?
Well, there had been an affair many years ago, and that had caused a rupture. So their relationship wasn't happy, and they came really trying to decide, should they stay together or should they split up? And actually, one of the things that's really interesting is how much our history impacts on our current relationship. So if you had a mother who was critical, then it's very easy to get oversensitized to criticism from your partner. Or if you had a father who was violent, then when your husband is a bit aggressive or your wife is a bit aggressive, you might expect the violence. And I use a method called Pesso-Boyden system psychomotor, which is the most extraordinary method at changing that historical stuff so that it's not getting in the way in your adult relationship anymore. And it is, it really does revolutionise things. And what it means is that people no longer have to cope with their symptoms, which many therapies leave you coping with your symptoms. With the Pesso Boyden stuff, we actually heal stuff. It actually changes the way people experience their partners. So that's been a very valuable addition to my repertoire of what I can do with clients.
Let's get on to your book now, Juliet. It's based on real encounters, isn't it? Do the couples know you've written about them?
It's based on real encounters that are changed. So I conflate two couples at stages. Some couples know that I wrote about them and I asked. Some couples are so disguised that even they wouldn't recognise it. So I kind of pulled together. So all of it is things I've heard and experiences I've had, but not necessarily in the sequence and the order that I write them.
Mm. How do you know if they're being totally truthful with you, Juliet?
Well, I don't. But actually, there's not much point in coming and paying a lot of money and not being honest. And I think sometimes people get more honest as time goes on. And occasionally, people aren't honest and they reap the consequences of that. One of my ways of working is really to help people to be more honest with each other. Mm. Because some people will want to people please and give their partner the answer they think their partner wants. Mm-hmm. And I call that emotional fusion, when you're dependent on how the other one feels for how you feel. So that you have to help your partner to feel okay, because otherwise it's too anxiety making for yourself.
And do you think, finally, Juliet, that sex is really important, that it's a key to a good relationship?
When the sex is going wrong, it's 90% important in the relationship. When the sex is going right, then it's not so important.
Right.
If that makes sense.
I think so.
Well, when there's a sexual problem, then it feels like the end of the world and that there's a big deal.
Right.
But when the sex is happening and it's okay and it's good enough, then actually it's just a part of the relationship, and there are other things in the relationship that are important too.
Juliet, thanks ever so much for joining us this morning. The book is called Landscapes of the Heart, The Working World of a Sex and Relationship Therapist.